Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Catherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Catherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello, and welcome to Growing Hope, the Change Edition, because today we're talking about the reasons for change, the way to change, and the acknowledgement that change happens no matter what. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your faithful and faith-filled Rainbows and Lollipops host. And you know, I have been wanting some serious change for my life, and I knew this summer was going to be perfect for pursuing the opportunities to create that change in my life. My kids are gone. You know, nothing quite frees up a mom as to have the kids gone for the whole summer. Now, granted, they come back on and off, but still, family-wise, my responsibilities have dropped down to just a few days a week. That means for most of the week, I can focus on me and on the changes that I desire. But after week two is come and gone, I'm discovering that I wish things would be different. But I'm not all up for this whole change thing, because change requires action, and I'm not so sure I thought the action part through. Sometimes I just need that little extra kick, and today and next week, I'm going to be talking with John Michael Morgan, founder of the Achievers Alliance and author of Brand Against the Machine. He is an excellent source for a little bit of a motivational kick. I first heard John speak at Craft Content Nashville 2015, and he told the crowd to be brave in the pursuit of their dreams. So I bravely went up and asked the keynote speaker for an interview. I discovered two things. One, if you don't ask, the answer is no anyway. And two, keynote speakers aren't nearly as scary as you might think. When you spoke in Nashville at Craft Content.
Yes.
The words that you spoke were so, I mean, it was almost like you were reading from my book. Because I'm all about the good, the positive, the uplifting. The running joke in the group that I'm in is that I'm the Rainbows and Lollipops host, because no matter what comes against me, I find the silver lining.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of struck me as a very similar spirit.
Yes.
And that's really why I thought, well, I really want him to talk, because sometimes we get caught up in, it's a women's ministry, it's a men's ministry, it's a business, it's a church, and we put ourselves in boxes.
Right.
And I'm so anti-box.
Yeah.
So you are one of the first male guests that I am hosting and that I know of that has been on our radio station.
Awesome. I'm honored.
So you are breaking the box down. You're kicking it down with full force.
I absolutely love that.
And what is it that you do exactly?
I help people, mainly entrepreneurs, creative types, leaders, anyone in any kind of leadership position, even if that actually is just leading their friends and family, which is basically everybody, help them have the right mindset and behaviors for success. So let's say that I'm not really one of those, I'll help you discover your passion. I'm one of those, if you know what your passion is, I can tell you how to succeed at it. So that's sort of it. Like, I help people streamline and actually achieve their goals, basically by getting out of their own way, stopping self-sabotage, those kind of things. That, of course, has fallen into me working with a ton of, you know, huge brands, Disney, Google, Starbucks,
wow.
those kind of things. So I've fallen in the marketing and sales and business side of things also. But And how I do all that is, as you saw, I go around and speak. I also coach people in a group coaching program called the Achievers Alliance, and then I write books.
Very good.
Yeah.
So is it what you always thought you were going to do? Or is, you know, you mentioned you don't help people find their passion, but did you know this was your passion? Is this is what God designed you to do? Or did you just kind of stumble into it and go, hey?
It's a great question. I am not one of those people. I grew up in church and was saved at a very young age, but was never one of those people who ever felt like God was talking to me or directing me. I just assumed, you know, he was busy with everyone else. And, you know, I was just trying to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow. And so when I was young, I actually really struggled and stressed out about, I don't know what I want to do. You know, I have no idea what I'm passionate about. And so that really, really frustrated me. When I got out of school, I actually became a real estate agent and built up a real estate business. And it was during that time that, as I had a sales team going out and actually, you know, working with customers, I was sitting at home on the phone coaching people. And people who weren't in real estate and things like that, people all over the U.S. And basically my wife one day said, why don't you charge people for all this time you know, that you're doing this? And I said, oh, okay, like that's a great idea. And then before too long, I realized I was making almost as much money doing that as I was in the real estate business. And the difference was the real estate business was a headache and stressed me out and I didn't enjoy it. And helping people was all of a sudden like, wow, I'm making money and that's cool, but also I'm really excited about what I do and I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow. And you know, the weekends would come and I'd be like, oh, it's the weekend, I can't wait for Monday. And that was, you know, just a different sort of mindset and thought process. And the more I did that, and the more then just, you know, how opportunities and relationships and things like that then just start falling into place, the more I realized, oh, wow, like, okay, this is what I was supposed to do. So it was kind of accidental and me just following a little bit of my own gut.
And really, that is what we're supposed to do, but we let the stuff, whether it's our education or maybe our family says you can't do that. The best example I have is my mother was an incredible artist, and she died in 2012, and I was going through her writings and through some of her sketches, and I was seeing this artistic nature that she had, but she was pushed into the business of the medical side of it. My grandfather was a doctor. My uncle was an orthodontist. My aunt was a nurse and she married a surgeon. And so my mother was kind of pushed out of the artistic realm into being this in the box person. Mm-hmm. And I really think it smothered her. And I hate to see that with people. Do you run into that very much?
Gosh, I do. And I think it's, you know, that story, that this one of the saddest parts about that is how common that is. I mean, that's certainly the case with just so many situations. And I grew up a little bit differently in that my parents own their own business and they, you know, work together in that business. And so you would think that, okay, I'm supposed to grow up and fall in line with the family business, especially considering my brother worked there. You know, all my cousins worked there, uncles, you know, aunts, right. You name it. It's like, you know, the whole family sort of works within this company, and most still do today. And I just, as a kid, was always the odd one out, not the black sheep necessarily, although there were certainly those moments, but just more the, you know, I must have been adopted because I do not fit. I mean, first of all, even just physically, I am a foot taller than both of my parents and my brother. So yeah, you know, if my mom wasn't such a faithful lady, I would say, was the mailman tall or something? Because, you know, where does this height come from?
And, just for the record, the height gene is not the dominant gene. So that's my theory anyway, because my kids are, I'm 5 foot even. But my boys are pushing 6 feet.
Wow. See, there you go. Yeah, in fact, my wife, the whole reason we met in high school, and the whole reason she ever dated me was she's really tall. She's actually 5'11", and I was the only boy around taller than her. which, you know, I'll take. Like, I don't really care how, you know, why she said yes, but certainly in that case.
Whatever works for you.
Yeah, the height finally, you know, paid off. But so growing up, it was a little bit of, you know, my dad came from a very, very poor background. And so his whole thing was, I'm working really, really hard so that you can go do something else.
Right.
So my dad, you know, owns a business that's in construction, you know, manual labor, all of those things. He never wanted my brother and I to do that. So that was good because I never felt forced in that box. The other side of it, though, that was bad is I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, and my parents really didn't care, except they just wanted me to go away. You know, not work for the family business. You know, just go out and
you might want to clarify that.
Yeah, well, and as you saw me speak, you know, I don't have any filter. And that was the other thing is, you know, I'm always, you know, how come we let, you know, Uncle So-and-so do this at the company? Like, why didn't you, you know, get on to him? And, you know, like, I know that if I worked there, people would be fired. And right. Then Christmas dinner would be very awkward. And so I think my parents realized that pretty early on. And so they kind of were like, we'll just steer him away, you know, from that. So it was just a very unique thing. I don't know, again, like, really that they meant to do that. But because what's interesting is my brother, who's 4 years older than me, he more fell into that box. I don't know if it's just, you know, the older brother. So, you know, firstborn expected, you know, to do different things than the younger one or what. But, you know, he was supposed to go to college and get the certain degree. And, you know, they had all these like sort of, you know, check box, you know, that they wanted him to hit. And with me, I think it was just, we really hope he finds something he loves. And that was kind of enough.
Well, now, are you is it just the two of you? So you're the younger?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if you were a middle child, because I, you know, middle children sometimes can be more carefree. Although that goes back to the boxes. They tell you what you're supposed to be depending on where you are in the birth line.
Right.
And I pretty much think I read it when I came out of the womb, went, nope, not going to do any of those.
Right. You know, and it is, I would say, because I'm not the typical, you know, I'm not the baby of the family. That was what was always interesting and frustrating when I was younger, that, you know, they still babied my brother. You know, it was
wow.
Like, okay, you know, he was always still sort of, you know, the focus in a way. And like I said, that ended up being, you know, pretty good, because you fast forward to today, and I'm absolutely doing what I love.
Right.
I can't even put into words how happy I am just in life and business and fulfilled and all those things. And my brother, unfortunately, is now working with a company where he's very much in a box that he does not like, and kind of is just on that path where unless major changes happen, and he could make them, but unless he did, nothing's going to change.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, when I look at sort of the difference there, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I was so fortunate to, you know, not be put in that box, but then also never try to get in it myself.
Right. And just from the one time I met you and heard you talk and listening to you now, I suspect it would have been really difficult to get you in a box.
it certainly would have. You know, it's one of those things where I think, like a lot of us, we have different things we're passionate about, right?
Right.
And when we're passionate about those things, we get very excited and we want to help, or we want to jump in, or we want to fix something. And I have that sort of mentality. I get a little bit obsessive about the things that I love. You know, my wife jokes that I can't just, you know, like a certain music group. I've got to become obsessed with them. You know, I need the t-shirt. I need every, you know, album, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that certainly ends up being the case. And so it is hard to get put in that box. But then I get frustrated when, let's say, for example, you know, a lot of churches I've talked to, you know, they've got these different plans that they want to do, these different ideas, and they're really good ideas. And then I start walking them through, okay, here's how you could do that, and here's what it would look like. But then they get into that, but that's not how we've always done it.
Yep. We've never done it that way before.
Yeah, which is, you know, just, you know, the worst thing that anyone could ever say or think is, you know, that whole thing. And sometimes I've had to say, well, listen, if it was so good the way you've done it, then why are you trying to change?
Yep.
You know, why have a new idea, right? And so that's the thing, is it's like, okay, we've got to, you know, grow and adapt. And that is all exciting to me. But then, like I said, you know, then the challenge is coming in and helping someone get outside of that.
Right, because it's not complicated. You've already said it once. If you want change, something has to change.
Well, that's right. To me, the whole thing of, the definition of insanity is, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I think that's a great definition of it. To me, it's also the definition of insanity is wanting something or wanting to do something,
yes,
but being too afraid to do it.
Right.
So you just sit around whining about how you don't have it or you can't do it when really you haven't tried anything. And that's really frustrating me. I mean, as a, business owner, one of the things that thrilled me about that was it's all on me. If I succeed, that's because I did something right. And if I fail, it's because I did something wrong. But at least I can take that personal responsibility for it.
Right.
And that's the thing, is we have to decide, okay, wait a minute. I've got these goals. I've got this vision for my life that I want. But am I behaving in a way that's going to lead to that? Because, see, that's the problem, is everyone has these goals or these general ideas of what they'd like in life, but then they go on and do their same day-in, day-out routines, never changing anything.
Right, right. I think you came into my life at the perfect moment, because we had just gone through this blessed life in our Sunday school class, and I had determined that I was going to start making bold and radical changes that would make people go, "What?" And you need to constantly feed that, because the people around you don't understand that. People around you are kind of going, you might want to rethink that game plan.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's ultimately not their fault. So I'm a big believer that we're a product of our environment.
Right.
Proverbs says, walk with the wise and become wise. And, I buy into that 100%. But it's not necessarily the other people's fault. What's happening is they're not encouraging you because they're too afraid to do it themselves.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so when they say, "Oh, don't do that," or "Do you think that's a good idea?" They're actually coming from a good place. They're just wrong.
Right.
So that's the thing. And so we have to have that courage to say, wait a minute, okay, that is wrong, because they're basing this off of their world. We are all the center of our own universe.
Right.
So everything, every opinion that we have is based on our own experience. And so if I'm really afraid to go out and try something, of course I'm not going to recommend it for someone else, because that's outside my comfort zone, even though it may not be outside theirs.
Right.
And so there's that whole thing. And that's why we have to watch out for those type of things. And, like you mentioned, like take, Sunday school, for example, or small groups, or, community groups, whatever people, their church wants to label it as these days. But, those are so great, because the idea is you get in this environment and you're going to grow spiritually and probably relationally as well, meet some new people, strengthen friendships and those kind of things. And all of that is wonderful. But ultimately, when you start that group, to when that group, let's say, has been going on 6 months or a year or even 3 months, it should be different. Everyone, you should see different behaviors, different thoughts,
yes,
different ideas, because otherwise it's just, let's get together and socially hang out. And yeah, we may mention the Bible, we may do prayer requests, but we're not actually changing anything. And so that's the problem. And so we have to watch for that environment that we're in. So I love when you said that you were going to change some things that was going to shock them. What's great about that is you're willing to make change that's visible.
Right.
And that's the thing is, I sometimes will set some different goals for myself personally. And one of the ways I'm sort of gauging those is 30 days into it, are some of the people in my inner circle saying, "Hey, you're different."
Wow.
Just those type of things, right? Really easy with a spouse, because they know us best. And, my wife can be, you've been in a good mood for 3 weeks straight. What's happening? Those kind of things.
Or, Have you changed your diet that I need to be aware of?
Right, yeah. There's those type of different things. A great one, for example, is I've got a good friend of mine who's, also a business owner in a completely different industry. And, we started talking about just different investment stuff, something I don't know anything about at all. And he was like, "John, 3 months ago, would have never talked about this." And I'm like, okay, great, because one of my things this year was to try to act more like a grown-up. And so this is a good sign that you're seeing, you know, at least that I'm thinking about these different things and asking questions and all of that. And so that's the other thing, is sometimes we're like, we say, okay, I am going to make these changes. I'm going to have different habits, work on, you know, different behaviors. And, you know, we sit there then, okay, like, we're just looking at ourselves under a microscope.
Right.
You know, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. So you just got to day in, day out, do those new changes. The world will see it. And you just got to, you know, trust that.
Fair enough. But, you know, you challenge me every time we speak. Or up at the, in Nashville, you were talking about you're not a reader, but that you read 2 books a week.
Right.
And that was so convicting for me, because I used to be able to read a book a day. I mean, I'm a very quick reader, and I was reading all the time. And so I made all these excuses of why I can't read now. And here you were, not a reader, saying, I just read 2 books a week. I was like, great.
Well, that's, you know, growing up and certainly in school, I mean, I've got a lot of teachers who'd be shocked at how much I read, you know, today. It was always a challenge for me. I didn't enjoy reading. I couldn't remember what I had just read on the page before. And it was never anything exciting. And what had happened is, you know, my wife and I had just got married. I had started this new business, and somebody gave me a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And I would have never read it, except they wrote in on the inside cover. They said, John, this book changed my life. I hope it changes yours.
Ooh.
And I had never thought of someone writing that kind of note. I'd never received that kind of personal gift, you know?
Right.
And so I thought, oh my goodness, like, I'm going to read this book. And I'm, you know, embarrassed to say, it probably took me a year to read it, just because I kept having to reread it. I couldn't understand it. You know, I was trying to, you know, grasp it. But by the time I got through it, I thought, I'm a lot smarter now. Like, I really get this. And I would talk to other friends and, you know, realize some mistakes they were making. And I was able to reference the book and those kind of things. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then it was like, okay, what's another book I should do? Like, that worked, you know, let me do another one. And then it just sort of snowballed into this, you know, oh my goodness, this is, you know, this is great. There's so much knowledge out there, and I can improve and grow so much by doing this, that then it became a habit, like we were talking about.
Right.
Now it's probably, you know, a full-on addiction. and it's just, it's one of those things where I don't just wake up in the morning and I'm ready to go. You know, I'm a morning person, so I'm awake. You know, once my eyes, you know, open, I'm up for the day. Like, there's no going back to sleep for me. And so, that stuff is fine. But just mentally, I'm not, like, in the zone. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting there and I'm, you know, in touch with my goals and all that kind of stuff. And so I need a little bit of time to get back in the right mindset. And that's what reading does for me. And that's what I love, just in the morning, you know, taking some, you know, scheduled time, even on Saturdays, even on Sundays, even on vacations, you know, all of those things, I still sit there and read. And it's, I love it, because it just, it's, it, I don't meditate, but I imagine that I get the same effects from it from people who do.
Right, right. And that's been a great challenge for me. And I've been reading more fiction. Being an author, you would think I was reading fiction, but other than my own writing, I rarely read, because I was writing and I'm working as a writer, and I'm building a business, and I'm building a ministry. I'm homeschooling 3 boys. I'm graduating one this year. We've been getting our ego, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And I just decided to turn off Netflix.
Well, and, you know, and that's the thing, right, is, you know, it's so easy to say, where's the time?
Right.
You know, how am I going to be able to get this done? Especially, you know, first of all, homeschooling, you know, is already a full-time thing. And, you know, my wife homeschools our kids, and actually just one of them, because the other one's so young.
Right.
You know, she's not in it yet, but she tries.
But she's into everything else.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, she's the hardest part of homeschooling, is keeping her away from her brother while he's trying to, you know, do his thing. But you're exactly right, is you get all these things going on, and it's funny that you mentioned, you know, fiction, because that's probably the area gosh, you know, I've struggled with that too. Like sometimes my wife is like, why don't you just read a book that's fun?
Right.
You know, you don't need to read this book on psychology or confidence or, you know, business or whatever. But I'm always wanting to learn like that new skill or something, you know, get that one idea that just really, you know, gets me going. That's really my favorite part of what I do for a living.
Right.
And so, again, like the reading part to me has kind of become fun, but also, so like the way my, you know, sort of work schedule goes is when I'm done for the day, it's all family time. And we certainly as a family love our Netflix. And so, you know, I'm going with that. And then in the mornings when I wake up and I read, it's kind of like the me time.
Right.
Like, oh, wow, no one's bothering me. Everyone else in the house is still asleep. You know, this is fantastic, you know, kind of a thing. So I've really turned it less into a chore and more into this is my escape. You know, this, if I smoked, this would be my smoke break.
Well, you might turn that family time into fiction time and read fiction together as a family.
You know, that's the thing is I certainly have really enjoyed my son, you know, loves books and loves, you know, when we read him stories and those things. And I'm certainly, you know, more and more realizing that I've got to do it. And I've heard that it makes you a better writer, even if you write the kind of books I write. So I certainly should, but it's just... Yeah, a habit I've got to, that's one I got to work on. I'll add that to the list.
It's that magic choice thing. And ultimately, whether it's in our business, our relationships, or just our life, it comes down to the choices that we want to make.
Mm,
and
yeah.
the choices that we make and how we invest our time, our money, our resources, those are going to be what drive us to where we go. Will it be where we want to go or will it be somewhere else?
That's right. You know, I say a lot that, you know, there's no such thing as a time management problem, only a priority management problem.
Right.
You know, we do absolutely make time for what's important to us. Now, we could look back at our typical week and that could end up hurting our feelings. you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like mine's perfect. There are certainly times I think, wow, I know way too much about, you know, this TV show and that TV show and, you know, these kind of things. And that used to be, by the way, like I was really bad. I was a reality TV junkie, you know, Survivor, Amazing Race were on, you know, I was all about it, you know, just loved that stuff. And it's not that I don't now, it's just, you know, like you said, it's that choice, right? Picking and choosing, you know, the different things. And so now if I'm watching TV, the good news is it's because I'm watching TV.
Right.
Like, I want to watch that show. I'm not just sitting there saying, let me flip through the channels and just find anything.
Right.
You know, I'm purposefully saying, I want to watch this.
It's a purposeful choice.
That's exactly right.
If you aren't happy with where you are, with the way things are, then it is up to you. You're going to have to take action towards change because change that we desire for our lives only occurs when we take the action to make it happen. I can be in a new place if I am willing to invest in moving in a new direction. I can reach my desired success if I am willing to keep on moving until I arrive there. You see, I can if I will. John Michael Morgan reminded me that I am the only person standing in my way. If I want to see it happen, I have to choose to make it happen. Now, if you want to learn more about John, or if you're interested in having him help your company pursue their purpose, or if you're interested in having him speak at your next event, visit www.johnmichaelmorgan.com or www.achieversalliance.com. John is the founder of the Achievers Alliance, and it's a personal development coaching program designed to equip leaders and entrepreneurs with the tools they need to achieve success. He served as a private consultant and a mentor to best-selling authors, Fortune 500 companies, small business owners, entrepreneurs, celebrities, churches, and even some of the world's largest brands and high achievers. He's an in-demand public speaker on the topics of leadership, achievement, and marketing, and obviously, he is a natural-born encourager. John has spoken across the world at business conferences, associations, organizations, churches, and universities. Now, you can purchase your own copy of his best-selling book, Brand Against the Machine, by visiting his website or by visiting most of your major online bookstores. Now, John will be back with us next week, sharing more encouragement and more motivation to help in this journey to change. Growing Hope Radio is going to take a very quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to start sharing with you some of my own ideas about how to embrace this move towards change, because we know that it is up to us to make change happen. Growing Hope Radio will be back after these messages. Got hope? Growing Hope seeks to instill the courage that your heart needs to live out the bold life grounded in hope. The monthly newsletter offers tips, inspirational stories, and scriptures to help grow up hearts that are open to pursue the extraordinary. Visit katherinelang.com/promotion and sign up and receive a moment of hope, the Growing Hope monthly newsletter.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
You're listening to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you by Christian Women Affiliate. We are Christian women affiliating, connecting for a higher purpose, and committed to a common calling of glorifying God in words and action.
Hello, and welcome back to this week's Growing Hope Radio. I am Katherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, and today we're talking about change. How to stop wishing for something different and to begin taking the actions that will bring the difference that we each desire. I was listening to some people at an event recently. They shared their woes, you know, the woe is me kind of stuff. And I listened with interest and concern because I was seeking a way to help them with their woes. And then I shared some thoughts about their woes and how they could turn them around or how they weren't as woeful as they might have first imagined. And yes, I was doing a little rainbow painting. But I realized pretty fast that they wanted to dwell where they were and not actually move in the direction that removed the woe. I've been there myself. When I would look at someone else or look at my own situation, and I would say something like, "Oh, I would love for that to be different." And then I would just carry on with my day like nothing had happened. I would keep doing what I had been doing, and the only time it would come up would be when it was brought to my attention for one reason or another, and I would again make the same statement that I would love for that to be different. See, sometimes we want things to be magically different, but we still want to be the same. We want our circumstances to change, but we still want to be able to do what we've been doing, what we have always done. We want our relationships to be better, but we still want to keep focused on self. In other words, we invest a lot of time and energy in self-sabotage. We get in the way of the things that we want for our lives. I get in the way of my progress. Sure, there are circumstances that'll get in the way. There are even other people that'll get in the way. Problems often come up that get in the way, but ultimately, the reason some succeed where others fail is that those some refuse to accept the blocks that people, circumstances, or problems attempt to put up. Those people find a way. I remember a time in college when I wanted to go from school to Florida for the weekend. I was determined to go to Florida. But the professor in one of my classes scheduled an exam that hindered with my departure time. So I talked the professor into letting me take the exam on another date. I overcame the obstacle. I was going to Florida for the weekend. Halfway to Florida, the car overheated. Now, I couldn't talk my car into not overheating. Believe me, I tried. I did, however, find a guy to fix the busted radiator, and I kept on trucking. In the end, I had a great weekend, not because everything worked out the way I wanted it to or everything went smoothly. I had a great weekend because I had determined I was going to Florida for the weekend, and I found a way around the opposition. When I determine in my heart to do something, and it is so strong that I can't see it any other way, then I make the way happen. I make the plans and I take the actions to get there. My youngest brother is the epitome of determining to do something and then making a way to get there, no matter what the naysayers might say, no matter what the odds, no matter what the circumstances, or pretty much anything else the world tries to throw in his way. In high school, he decided he wanted to play college basketball. Now, he was a great athlete. He still is a great athlete. But at 5'6", college basketball was really a stretch. Except that he determined it wasn't a stretch. And he practiced longer, and he did more to improve and to make an impression. And he not only played college basketball, but he received a scholarship. And then, after he'd been working in athletics for several years and was successful and was married and had kids, he decided to pursue his heart's desire of being a doctor. Now, he's a very intelligent guy, but studying when you're on your own and studying with a house full of people, that's two very different worlds. But he determined to do it, and this year he is graduating as a DO in radiology. My brother has proven time and again that when you want something, then you can find a way to make it happen. But the question you have to ask is, do I really want something, or do I just wish it would be different? See, wanting something means I have to be willing to put in the time and the effort. Wishing something means I just want someone else to create it for me. If I'm not willing to make an investment, that I'm just wishing for something. I'm wishing for a change. And wishing can be fun, but it won't create that change. I have to follow up the desire with action, because actions, those are the only way to create change. Now, my top five tips, my top five ideas for moving from an idea, a want or a desire, into a place of change are: first, you have to be daring with a twist of realism. I need to see beyond the ordinary and the obtainable if I'm going to reach for the stars. Number two, make an action plan. Once I have the destination, I need to map out the directions. Three, take a step. The first step in the direction of my possibility is often the toughest and the most important. Four, keep stepping and stop measuring. Sometimes the results don't show up until the very end, and the constant measuring can deflate the motivation for the next step. And five, be willing to start again, because sometimes things happen and you have to accept that and stand up and start over. Growing Hope Radio has to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'll share more about these 5 points that can help you begin to turn that desire into real change. I can get there. It is possible if I know where I'm going and if I'm willing to make the investment necessary to get there. My change and my desire for real change rests within my choice to pursue that desire. I am the difference in my change. Growing Hope Radio will be right back after these messages. This is your Growing Hope Scripture Focus. Each week I'll share with you a favorite Bible verse and challenge you to memorize and study that verse over the next 7 days. By putting the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds with consistency, these words will settle in and begin to grow fruit that shows forth in our own words and in our actions. This week's verse is Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple words offered by Paul to encourage the journey that Christians were attempting to walk, and that we're still attempting to walk. Focus on God, and you won't be caught up in the flesh. Paul is challenging me to walk and live in the Spirit, to make the Spirit choice my default choice. And that can only happen if I'm investing heavily in spiritual food, the Word, prayer, worship, thanksgiving. But when I get to that place where I am responsive to the Spirit and guided by the Spirit, then I will not fall into the trap of the flesh gratification. It is that initial investment that will make all the difference in what I am trying to do. This has been your Growing Hope Scripture Focus.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
There will always be an excuse. There will always be a reason not to keep going. There will always be something that tries to hinder my journey. In truth, the only thing that gets in the way of the journey looks back at me from the mirror every day. I am the only person, the only thing, that can hinder my success. Place and Purpose is a book that offers my own experiences with discovering that unique path and uncovering the truth that they don't hold the answers to my journey. I break it down to four simple questions: why, what, how, and when. When you answer these questions for yourself, then you will be closer to that unique place designed just for you. Here are some of the things that are being shared about Place and Purpose. Catherine shares many ways that you can get closer to God and begin to identify that missing part of your life. Place and Purpose offers practical tips for digging into a personal relationship with God so that I can recognize His purpose for my life. Catherine Lang has filled this book with wonderful advice for beginners, but also practical advice for the seasoned believer. Get your copy of Place and Purpose by visiting www.catherinelang.com/books and begin to answer the why, what, how, and when of your journey.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
Welcome back to Growing Hope Radio. I am still Catherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, seeking out the silver lining no matter the circumstances surrounding the storm. Now, before the break, I was talking a little bit about change and how change only comes when I make the investment of action. See, I can want something and not do anything about getting there, and really all I'm doing is just wishing for a difference. But when I want something, and I mean that deep down hunger and desire kind of want, then I make a plan and take action to make it happen. So before the break, I shared the 5 points to begin moving from a want to actual change. First, be daring with a twist of realism. 2, make an action plan. 3, take a step. 4, keep on stepping. And 5, be willing to start again. I joked once that I could be anything I wanted to be as long as I considered my personal limitations. See, I'm 5 feet tall. And I said that if I looked at my situation realistically, that I could never be a professional basketball player. But when I thought about it some more, that's not quite true. Even now, as a mother of 3 boys, moving in the direction of 50 years old, I could be a professional basketball player if I invested the time and the resources it would take to become skilled enough to be a professional basketball player. I mean, let's face it, don't you think that at least someplace like the Harlem Globetrotters would love the uniqueness of a 5-foot basketball player? But the truth is, I have zero desire to make that investment. I mean, I like basketball, but not enough to make it my life. So the first step in moving from a desire to actual change is to be daring with just a twist of realism. My realism comes in the form of what I am willing to do or to invest. I was watching a show recently and was impressed with the way the main character looked in her swimsuit. But I have an idea of what it would take to look like that, and I have no interest in investing that much into exercise and diet. My realistic twist is just to be fit and healthy for my personal frame and not for hers. I watched a friend of mine pursue a career, and he was away from his family, but he provides so well for him and his family, and they take vacations and they do stuff. And I think I would like to be in a position to provide in a similar fashion, only I like being around my family most days. And I love the time that we have together. So my realistic twist is to find income-producing opportunities that fit within those parameters, but they also, I have to allow those parameters to help me choose the provisions. See, it's not just about what I desire, but about what I want and am willing to give to have it become a reality. Just knowing what I want is the beginning. Once I have that image growing in my heart, then I need to develop the plans to get me there. In other words, I have to map out my path to change. That means it needs to be tangible. My map needs to be written out so that I can review it now and then along the journey and be certain that I'm headed in the right direction. For some, it may be written on a whiteboard. Some people may write it down in a journal. Some people may draw it out on a calendar. How is not as important as getting it done. So the actual method is not as important as the art of writing down the plan. I personally write it down in several ways, on a big whiteboard that I often refer to as my whiteboard of world domination. I also write it in my journal on a day-to-day basis. I even have it on my calendar, although my calendar map is for each month and not for the long-term year goals. But having it mapped out in several ways helps me to stay focused from day to day. So the first thing I need to do is to be daring but realistic. Second, I need to make a map. Now the third thing I need to do is in order to move from desire to actual change is to take a step. All the planning in the world will do little more than eat up my paper. If I want change, then I have to make the move. I have to take the action that's going to get me closer to change. I was asked recently, what is the best advice I would give to new writers? And I just smiled. That's simple. Write. If you want to be a writer, then you have to write. If you want to move up in your field, then you have to grow in knowledge and experience that will move you up the next rung, or you may have to be willing to relocate. If you want to be more fit, then you have to move more. For every desire and for every map, there are actions that must take place to get to that end result. Once I get moving, then I have to keep moving. So the fourth thing I need to do is to keep on stepping. Big goals will take big investments, and big investments mean many steps. I will get there if I continue stepping. And momentum from that first step, or even from the last step I just took, that momentum makes it easier to take that next step. So keep on moving. But sometimes things happen. I invested in walking every single day for 60 days, and then I hurt my knee and couldn't walk. I could do other exercises, but I couldn't walk, and that's where I had made my commitment. So I just gave up. Besides, nothing had changed anyway, so why bother? Only it turns out that I enjoyed walking more because I just got to walk. I got to see the wildlife playing. I got to enjoy the opportunity to inspect the new blooms in the garden. So I made a new plan with new rules. I would make a point of being active every day. It could be a walk, a swim, stretching. The what wasn't as important as the choice to move. So I started moving again, and I stopped thinking about what was happening because of the moving. I just enjoyed the moving, and because I was enjoying it and moving for the sake of moving, the need to measure began to lose its strength. But my movement issue is proof positive that things will get in the way along this journey. I can choose to give in, to give up, to call it quits, or I can get up, get going, and make a new way. If I truly want to get from desire to actual change, then I have to be willing to start over. When things happen, and things will happen, then I just have to start with that first step once again. If I'll take that first step, then I can take the next step and the next step, one foot in front of the other until I reach my destination. So these are my 5 tips for moving from a want or desire to actual change for my life. 1, be daring with just a twist of realism. 2, make an action plan. 3, take a step. 4, keep stepping. 5, be willing to start again. Now, Growing Hope Radio needs to take another break, but when we return, I'm going to share how Scripture lines up with this idea that change requires action. Growing Hope Radio will be back after these quick messages. This is the Growing Hope Review. Each week I will share with you one of my favorite Bible studies, books, movies, television shows, or maybe a website, and I'll tell you why it moved me to share. Although I know we will each get something different out of the things that we encounter, I also know that when we are moved by words, then others are likely to be moved as well. Now, this week's review is on What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. My youngest son was introduced to this television program through his Sunday school class. He raved about it, and he never wanted to be picked up early because he might miss part of it. So during a sick week at our house, I went searching for What's in the Bible with Buck Denver, and I discovered Jelly Telly, developed by Phil Fisher, the creator of VeggieTales. If you haven't heard his testimony, then you need to go read about him. He has a powerful story about following God's will or getting caught up in the world's plans. Now, Jelly Telly offers great video games and fun television shows for the whole family that have a biblical and a Christian base. There is a fee for signing up each month, but you can do it on a month-by-month basis. We became enamored with What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. And by we, I mean my entire family, my youngest son, my teenage sons, my husband, even myself. We all wanted to watch and we all learned something. What's in the Bible with Buck Denver presents the Old Testament in an enlightening and entertaining way. I didn't fall asleep once. Now you can visit the Jelly Telly website, www.jellytelly.com. That's JellyTelly.com, to learn more or to sign up for your monthly subscription. Subscriptions begin at just $5 per month. This has been a Growing Hope review.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
R&D Computer Solutions, serving all your computer needs. We provide low-cost hosting options, complete website development, and online troubleshooting service. No matter what your needs, the staff at R&D Computer Solutions will be there to help you find the answer. Visit www.rdcss.com to learn more about R&D Computer Services, a family-owned and Christian-run quality computer business.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
The sound of the door unlocking made her heart speed up. Her reasonable mind told her there was nothing on the other side, but reason had lost its argument long ago. It was time to face the past, no matter how much she wanted to run. Run, the pulse-quickening first novel in the Big Spring series from Catherine C. Lang. Don't look back. Get it today in paperback or ebook at Amazon.com or KatherineLang.com. Run.
Welcome back to this final segment of Growing Hope Radio. I am still Catherine Lang, your faithful and faith-filled rainbows and lollipops host, because everything is a little easier when we add hope to the mix, even change. And change is what we're talking about on today's show. Not the wishes I make or the far-off whispery dreams, but those deep-seated, heartfelt desires that I not only want, but I'm willing to invest to achieve. I can move to these desires and create change for my life if I'm willing to follow just a few simple ideas. One, be daring with just a twist of realism. Two, make an action plan. Three, take a step. Four, keep on stepping. And five, be willing to start again. And scripture backs up this concept of taking action. It is not just an idea. It is works. It is the things that I do. That's what shows the true heart and also guides this next step for my life. James 1:22 says it as plain as I think it can be said. It said there, be doers of the word and not just hearers, or you deceive yourself. So it's like what we said earlier. You can have an idea, or you can learn something, or you can make a plan. But until that first step is taken, it's just thoughts. It's just words. I need to show, not just tell. Now, Peter was a man of action. He was the first to speak up when Jesus asked the apostles who they thought he was. Peter was the one that swung the sword and cut off the servant's ear when they came to take Jesus. Peter was the one that stepped out of the boat and walked on water. In 1 Peter 1:13, he challenges me to take action. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is telling me to be prepared. He's telling me that when I get the right focus, the one that is fixed on Jesus Christ and on God's perfect and unique will for my life, then I will be prepared to take action. And I need to take action. Jesus warns that not everyone that knows his name will enter into heaven. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, "Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Because even salvation comes when I make the choice to receive. Receiving is an action of accepting a gift. See, words have power, but actions bring about results. In 1 John 3:18, it says that we should not love with words, but with actions in truth. Real change happens not when I speak that change, but when I begin to act from a truthful place in the words of that change. Which brings me back around to James. In James 2:18, I'm challenged to show my faith by works, not by words. If I want change for my life, if I truly want to see a difference in where I am, and if I want others to see a difference in where I am and where I'm going, then I have to choose to take the steps and do the things that will create the difference for my life. I have to take action to make change if I want to see change. Now, thank you so much for joining me for today's Growing Hope Radio, where we've been talking change, and we're going to continue talking change. We're going to continue down this path over the next week or so. So I hope you'll be back as we continue growing up changes that are going to lead us each down a path of purposeful living. Over the next few days, my prayer for you is that the words I shared with you today will begin to impact your life. I know that I personally will be re-examining my own map and determining if maybe it's time to start over or if I just need to keep on stepping and to stop measuring. If you have any thoughts or any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. You can email me directly at radio@katherinelang.com, or you can also use the contact form from our website, www.katherinelang.com/contact. If you'd rather connect with me through social media, that's fine. I'm there and I'm easy to find. It's always going to be Katherine C. Lang, and that's Katherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. Over at Facebook, I'm the Katherine C. Lang. At Twitter, I'm the @ Katherine C. Lang. At Google Plus, it's the +, Katherine C. Lang. And over at YouTube, I'm again the Katherine C. Lang. So please find me, connect with me. This journey of change is so much easier when we get together and we do this together. Because we are not designed, remember, to do it alone. So let's connect. Now, Growing Hope Radio will be back next week. Same rainbows place and same lollipops time. And I do so look forward to seeing you around the internet until we get back together next week. Connecting with you is important to me. I want us working out these unique plans that will lead us each from a desire to the change that will make that desire a reality. Change is possible for my life. I can if I will. Until we meet again, be blessed. And remember, in all that you're doing, in all that you're becoming, in all that you encounter, find a way to be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.